I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and on this special day, I welcome you to this broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. Yes, it's Father's Day, and Dad, I'd like to wish you a happy Father's Day. Thanks for being a great dad. I love you.
Well, thank you for being a great son, Grayson. I honor you. Honor you today. It's Father's Day, and you're not a father yet, but you're an honorable young man. And I thank God that I get to be your father. So thank you for that greeting.
And Dad, I had Mom on the Front Porch Talks broadcast on Mother's Day to talk about being a Christian mother and talking about being a praying mother. So I think it's only fitting today that I ask you some questions about what it means to be a Christian father and what it means to be a praying father.
Okay, I'll do my best to answer. I promise not to answer anything I don't know.
And not only are you a Christian father and a praying father, but I know you also had a Christian father and a praying father, my papa, who is going on to be with the Lord a couple years ago. It'll actually be 3 years, November 17th of this year, and so we miss him dearly. Just start out talking about your earliest memories of him as your father and what he taught you.
Yeah, on Father's Day especially, Grayson, I miss Dad, your granddad, your papa, you called him. He's been gone now with the Lord since 2014, and I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't think about him. He has such a great influence on my life. He was a commercial fisherman, a fish boat captain, really, shrimp boat captain, to be honest. And he was a very, very simple man with a very, very profound faith. And Dad lived what he believed, and he lived it right down where it counted, where the rubber meets the road, we might say. He lived it daily in his life as a fisherman, as a father, as a neighbor, as a family member. He just lived his life, and he really did make a great impact on me. I wrote a book a few years ago titled Relational Leadership, What I Learned from a Fisherman About Leading the Church. And really, I wrote that whole book to write the last chapter where I talk about how my dad has such an influence on me about having a relationship with the Lord and how he guided me and directed me, not only by what he said. He had some great things to say, but really by the way he lived his life. He came to Christ when I was about 5 years old, and I remember his conversion. He actually was on the shrimp boat. They were docked at Wan Chees, North Carolina. It was in January. It was Epiphany Day, the day of Epiphany. And in the middle of the night, about the fourth watch of the night, Papa, my dad, your granddad, had a dream about Jesus hanging on a cross. And he had this deep sense that it was so real that Jesus was talking to him from the cross and really kind of warning him that he needed to turn his life toward the light and turn his back to the darkness. And he got out of his bunk in that old shrimp trawler, knelt down in the galley floor, and gave his life to the Lord probably about 3 a.m. And he never looked back. He loved the Lord with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he had a great impact on his three sons, on his grandchildren, but also on people who encountered him in a daily, ordinary way. So I had a great example, and you know the scripture says, those who have been given much more will be required. So I had a model of a Christian father, and I'm very grateful for that, Grayson.
Well, Dad, it was cool to hear that story again. I know he shared that story of his conversion when he was docked at Wan Chees to me and you a few years before he passed away on our Front Porch Talks podcast on our website. And it's just neat to hear that story again, and I know that we both learned a lot from him, and also the people around him learned a lot from him. Talk about some of the things that you've done as a father because of the example and some of the things that he did for you as a father.
Well, three things come to mind immediately, Grayson. Number one, my dad lived well. And what I mean by that, he was a man of holiness, not self-righteousness. But he wanted to live a holy life through the Holy Spirit, and he wanted to be a witness for Christ in all that he did and said. And so he lived well. He lived a life of holiness. Christ lived a life of holiness through him, actually. Second of all, my dad loved well. He loved wholeheartedly. He held nothing back. He loved all people. I remember on his deathbed, he said something to me that I'm not sure how many people can say it, but I hope it's something I can say. He looked at me and he said, "Kerry, I have no enemies." He said, "If they've made me their enemy, that's up to them, but I have no enemies. I love everyone." And so he loved well. He had a wholehearted love that God had shed abroad in his heart. And finally, he left well. I know when he left earth, he went to heaven. I have no doubt where my dad is. Wherever Jesus is, he's there. The scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that Dad, your papa, is in heaven. So he lived well, he loved well, and he left well. And I hope that I certainly can do that too. There are some other things that Dad taught me, and I'll share those because these are the ways I aim to live my life. I want to be true to the family name, not just the Willis family, but to the family of God. And he taught me how to do that. First of all, Dad taught me how to be vulnerable, to be real, to be yourself, to remember your roots. You know, I have a saying that I say pretty often, if you forget where you came from, you won't know where you're going, and you won't know who you are once you get there. So we need to be vulnerable. We need to be real. We need to remember where we've come from. And so he taught me how to be vulnerable, to be a good steward of the Willis name. The second thing that he taught me was how to be vigilant, to be alert, on guard, as protector of the crew. See, on his boat, he would often have a crew, some mates working with him. And Dad was very alert. He wanted to guard their lives because a lot of dangerous things can happen on the sea. He was a light sleeper on the boat. It's funny how a fisherman taught me a shepherding characteristic. And he taught me that you need to stay awake to keep your eyes on the flock. And so I learned that from Dad. Dad's vigilance even one time saved my life as a young teenager on the boat. And that's a kind of a long story, but he had put a young man, a young mate, at the wheel during the night, and we were all trying to take a short nap, the rest of us, and the young man fell asleep up in the captain's chair. And Dad awoke and knew something was wrong, and if he had not moved quickly, we would have all been a pile of toothpicks on dry ground because the boat was off chart and we were about to be killed. So he taught me how to be vigilant and how important it is. A third thing Dad taught me was how to measure value, to always value being in right relationship with God and others. That's how you measure value, to live in God's love, not in man's legalism. He taught me that. And so don't break our hearts was kind of the way Dad lived. He would speak that for Mom and himself whenever he would talk to his three boys and we'd be leaving the house or going out in our cars or whatnot. He would say, don't break our hearts. And the best way to say this, Dad believed that when relationships rule, there's little need for rules. He believed that if we loved our parents enough, we would live a life that would not bring dishonor to them or bring hardship to them. And that was a great responsibility, but I'm so glad Dad laid it on me. It was burdensome, but he taught me that when you leave here, you might not be with your mother and myself, but I pray that you won't forget how much you love us and how much we love you, and you won't do crazy things and dangerous things, and you won't make a pact with the deceiver, the enemy, and you'll live your life to honor your name and your family and the people you love. A fourth thing that Dad taught me was how to have victory, or even how to have vision, to be focused on the face of the Lord. That was Dad's thing. He said to me one time, if you're going to hang your head, hang it up so you can see the face of God. He knew that all help came from above. You know, a fisherman has to really rely on the Lord. It's a difficult job. I don't know if it's still the most difficult job listed, but the last time I checked, one of the most dangerous jobs in the world is that of a commercial fisherman. And my dad really needed God. He needed him as his protection, as his presence. And he taught me that, and that help comes from above, to be reliant on the Holy Spirit. Dad taught me that it's better to say the victor has me than just to say I have the victory. He wanted to make sure we knew who we belonged to. We belonged to the Lord. And my dad taught me perseverance, and he taught me longevity, how to endure to the end. And so I'm so grateful for all that he taught me on this Father's Day, but also every day.
Well, thank you for sharing those things that Papa taught you, Dad, and the example that he led about how he lived his life, how he loved well, and most importantly, how he left well, or how he finished well. those are all good things, and also about vigilance. Also, another thing that I know is important to you and was important to him and should be important for all fathers and all men and all people, for that matter of fact, is prayer. Talk about what it means to be a praying father.
Well, it's been said that men who kneel before God can stand before anyone. So if we kneel and humble ourselves before the Lord, he will exalt us. He'll lift us up. And so I think we need to, as men especially, to confess that the Lord is our strength and our shield, as the psalmist said in Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. So to pray is to have a relationship with God, but it's also to humble ourselves and to admit that we're not God, and we cannot really be God to ourselves. And so prayer is so essential. And you know, Grayson, we have prayer here at the local church every Thursday morning at 10 after 6 a.m. And we meet with men who want to pray with us. Usually between 15, maybe 30 men will show up on any given Thursday morning, and we pray together. And I think that God is honored by it. I don't think he's impressed by it. Sometimes I'm impressed by it, that men will still come that early in the morning. I've been pastoring 23 years here in Harrisonburg, and probably I've been having this morning prayer time for maybe 22 of those years at least. And I'm just amazed that men continue to show up. And it tells me a lot about the health of our church when I see these men coming to pray. Now, I wish more would come. I'm never content. I want more men to come, but not for the number's sake, but for their own benefit. Because when men pray together, things happen. Wonderful things happen. And I believe the secret of our local church has in large been part or been pushed or been pulled by the men's prayer time. Now, our women meet too every Thursday at 8:30. And I know God is hearing those ladies, because in every church, the ladies are praying. I believe that is for sure. But men need to pray. And sometimes we have a little trouble as men focusing. We have a little trouble reading the Word of God even sometimes. I've had struggles with that. But we certainly need to be men who pray and are in the Word of God. And what I've learned, you know, through my life is that if you don't know what to say when you pray, open the Word of God and pray His words back to Him. So that's very important to me as a man, to stand before the God-man, Jesus Christ, and to make sure that my life is an open book before Him. It is an open book. Of course, He knows all things. But to make sure it's an open book in this way, that I pray, "Search my heart, O God, and see if there's anything about me, in me, that offends you, and lead me on to life eternal." You know, that's the psalmist's prayer, and I believe that we as men must be men of prayer. So I want to speak to the men for a moment. If you're having trouble with your prayer life, I want to make a suggestion. Try it for 30 days. See if it makes any difference in your life. Here's what I'd say. Pray the Psalms. Go to the Old Testament book of Psalms and just open first chapter and just begin daily to pray the Psalms as if you had written them yourself. And I think you will find strength in that. Another idea is to take 31 days a month. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and to just read the proverb for that day. If it's the 13th day of the month, read the 13th proverb and read it prayerfully. And there are 31 chapters in Proverbs, so there's one for every day. If there are 31 days, 30 days, 28 days, 29 days, whatever in the month. But I think we've got to get in the Word, and we've got to get in the Word prayerfully. It's not enough just to read. We have to saturate in the Word of God, and I think that's where prayer begins. So yes, Grayson, you know definitely that I believe in prayer. I'm never totally content with my prayer life, and I think that's a good thing. It's not that I feel a lot of guilt about my prayer life, maybe false guilt at times, because I know that prayer is the essence of life, relationship, communication with God. But sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get off chart a little, off course a little, and we always must come back to our equilibrium of prayer. And this morning, you know, we had our prayer time. We're recording this on a Thursday, actually. And we had our prayer time just this morning. And I had a pretty rough night physically. I had some chills and convulsing situations. My body reacts that way if there's a virus, an infection, maybe even dehydrated. I don't know, but occasionally I get that. It's been a while, but I was very weak in the night. It was about 3 a.m., and I was shivering. My wife was trying to cover me. Had to change shirts because I was sweating. And I was just calling out to Jesus. I wasn't afraid. I knew He heard my prayer. And soon I drifted back off to sleep. Well, I thought maybe I won't come to prayer this morning because I feel kind of weak right now, even as I'm recording this program. But I had this deep desire to get up, to get myself to the men's prayer time. And I'm so glad I came. And as I came out of my home, I looked up at this beautiful, majestic sky, this sunrise that God was painting for me, for everyone to see. And to think that the same great God, the same large God who threw that beautiful canvas in the sky this morning is small enough to care about me at 3 a.m. when I'm calling his name. So prayer is simply knowing God. And the way we know him is to pray. There is no other way to know God except to pray. So I'm very grateful, Grayson, that I have prayer in my life. I'm glad that you're a praying son. I know that you believe in prayer. I think you have more of the gift of prayer than I do. But, you know, it is Father's Day, but my mother is the one who has challenged and inspired me to pray. She challenged Dad and inspired him to pray. And so some people have more of a gift of prayer. They have more of a good bent to pray in. But all of us must discipline ourselves out of devotion and love for the Lord to become people who pray. And I don't mean you just have to take time and go get on your knees and spend a certain amount of time every day. Yeah, I think that's good. I think it's good if we take a quiet time each day to pray in kind of a way that is very formal, so to speak, or at least it's a regiment. I think regiment prayer is not bad. I think we need to get in a ritual, a living ritual of praying. But prayer is all day long. Prayer is 24/7, 365. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, unless there's 366 days in that year. We need to be praying always. And Grayson, through the day, I just talk to the Lord all day long. I mean, I just talk to him. And to me, that's praying. So praying becomes our lifestyle, not just our devotional time. We just know that he's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So the Lord is always present with us through his Holy Spirit. Our God is omnipresent. He's all places simultaneously. And so I believe that the secret to a prayer life, whether it be a man or a woman, a father or a mother, I believe it is to understand that praying never really stops.
Dad, that's good. And not only did you talk about prayer, but you talked about spending time in devotion. And of course, we're talking about spending time in prayer and devotion with Father God. So maybe if you're listening, maybe you weren't as lucky as me or Dad to have a Christian father, but we all have Father God. So Dad, talk a little bit about how people can learn from God through prayer or through quiet time about how to be a good father or to be a good Christian man.
Well, the Lord has said that he is even the father to the fatherless. So I think that's where you began your comments, Grayson. And even if we haven't had an example, the Lord is anxious to teach us how to be a good father. And we can learn from the best father. For God, for Father God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God, Father God, did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world but to save the world through his Son. Now there's a Father God who loves us. I'm going to be preaching this Sunday, Grayson, as we're recording this coming up on Pentecost Sunday. And I'm going to be preaching Pentecost Sunday about our identity. And if we will really understand that we are truly daughters and sons of a loving Father God, that will be all the esteem, all the identity that we need, because he is a good, good father. The songwriter said that. He is our first love. So often, you know, we base our worth on how other people in our lives treat us or what they say to us or how they think about us. But we need to take our identity from our first love. That's from Father God. Not from second loves, not from our spouses, not from our brothers or sisters, not from our human family. I'm not saying they can't love us, but sometimes your human family can love you in one moment and be very unkind to you the next. That's sad, but it happens a lot. But we need to take our identity from Father God because that's our first love. And he loves us with an everlasting love. He said so himself. And he will teach us how to be a Christian father, how to be a father after his own heart. There's no doubt in my mind that if we come before him in prayer, and that's where prayer is important here, Grayson, and we ask him, you know, teach me to be a godly man. Teach me to be a godly father. Teach me to be a godly influence in my circle of influence. God will certainly teach us that, but even more than teach us, because when you teach someone, you become an imitator. We want to be an imitator of Christ. Paul called for that in one of his letters in the New Testament. Be imitators of Christ. But I believe there's something greater than imitating Christ. It's being intimate with Christ. And there's no way to be intimate with Christ, no way to be intimate with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit one, unless we pray. And intimacy is always greater than imitation. I think what Paul meant was that when people look at our lives, we'll be Jesus-like, and that will be attractive to them. So I'm for that. But there is something beyond being an imitator of Christ. We can be intimate with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit one. He will teach us, and he will allow his life to flow through us. And so we have his intimacy living through our lives. And that will not only affect us, it'll affect everyone in our circles of influence.
Well, Dad, that's good counsel for fathers or just for men in general. Is there anything else? I know we've talked about a lot. Is there anything else that you'd like to share, any other counsel or advice for any men, and specifically fathers listening, that you haven't shared already?
Well, as a pastor, there's some things I'd like to share as a local pastor. Men are so essential to the success, the spiritual success of a local church. I'm just telling you that the secret to our local church has been men on fire for God. Now, don't take me wrong. The women love when I say that, because the women are on fire for God almost always. But men, not so much. I want to talk to men and say, if you haven't been to the local church lately and you're able to come, please show up and be amazed at how much your presence, your life lived in holiness, can affect the local church. I just depend, Grayson, on godly men to walk alongside me as a pastor. And I know that people have been hurt by the church. You know what? I've been hurt by the church. Because the church has a human element and a divine element. The human element needs a lot of healing, but the divine element is perfect. And so what I would do is say, I challenge you, I invite you, I beg of you, men, if you're not involved in a local church, please return to your local church this next Sunday. Go up to the pastor and say, hey, I've been AWOL, and I want you to know I'm back, and I want to be a prayer force in this church, and I got your back, and we are going to have a church that is vibrant if it's the last thing we do, because I feel called of God to be back in the local church. If you don't have a local church, we invite you to Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, 1871 Boyers Road, Harrisonburg. We meet every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for English worship services. And then at noon, our Spanish service meets. So I can't say enough, Grayson, how much as a pastor that I wish men would once again become champions of the church for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, I'm glad you asked that question. And I know that you can be hurt by the church and disillusioned. But Henry Nouwen, who was an old Catholic priest, had a lot of good things to say. Henry Nouwen said that the reason people who have been hurt by the church find such a hard time healing is because they don't realize they must return to the church to be truly made whole again. I don't know how you feel about that, but I believe there's truth in it because, you know, as humans, we need to forgive people, and people need to forgive us. We're all human, and we've all hurt someone at one time or another. But I believe the hurt is worth it in the church. I call pastoring the glorious burden. And I'll tell you what, my friends, I'll testify today on the witness stand of your life that the burden is not near as big as the glory. It is a glorious blessing to be a part of the church, not just a glorious burden. It is burdensome at times, but I'm here to report that it's full of the glory of God as well. So, yep, men, fathers, become people of prayer, become men of prayer, men of God, and consider not only leading your family, not only being light in the workplace and the marketplace, but consider coming to the local church. If you're already part of the local church, but you're sitting back, you're not really involved, I would inspire you or invite you to go to your pastor this Sunday and say, I've been kind of quiet around here, but I want you to know this week I've been encouraged, challenged, to recommit to praying for you. And pastor, if you need someone to pray for you or have prayer requests, you just get the message to me. I got your back. And that's what happens Thursday mornings, Grayson, here at this church. This morning we had 17 men, pretty good on a summer morning, a lot of vacations underway and all that. But I know the men in that room this morning, they are making this church different, delightfully different, because they're men of God, they're leading their families, they're leading in the marketplace, they're leading in the workplace, and they're leading in the local church. So I say that out of a heart of gratitude, and I would just ask that you consider it, and that the Lord would give you special blessing for doing so.
Well, Dad, thank you for that. And certainly, men, being part of the church and supporting the local church is good. In closing, do you mind just saying a prayer for Christian men and specifically for Christian fathers?
Lord God, we are grateful today, Father's Day. And what I like to say here in closing is happy Father's Day to you, Father God, because you are the Father of all fathers. And we are so overwhelmed with gratitude and humility at the way you've expressed your love for us in the past, the way that you continue to express your love for us in the present, and the promise that you will express your love to us in the future. Make us men, make us fathers after your own loving Father God's heart. Please, Lord. And when people encounter us, may there be a real understanding that they've also encountered Jesus. Because we want your Son's Spirit to be a glow of our lives, and we want to be witnesses wherever we travel, wherever we maneuver. We want to know that you are with us always, even within us. Help us to pray in special times and locations, but help us also to know that prayer is available to us all day long, every day, all year long, every year, that you long to have communication that's nonstop with us. I pray today for that man or that father that is carrying a heavy burden. Maybe they're loaded down today with the care of the world, maybe health, maybe finances, maybe relationships have gone awry. I just pray, Lord, that as they listen today, that you would love on them in a special and undeniable way and just whisper to them, all is well, all is well. Even in the midst of the storm, that you would be their calm, that you would speak these three words, peace, be still, to the men who are leaning into this broadcast today. I pray also for the ladies and the mothers and the children, everyone who's listening today. I pray that the blessing of Father God on this Father's Day will be undeniably present in every life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Happy Father's Day. I know I said it at the beginning, but I really do mean it. Love you, Dad. And thank you for listening to this broadcast of Front Porch Talks. May God bless.
Thanks, Grayson. You're a fine son. And we do pray together, Grayson and I agree. And we pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life on the front porch.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.